you for this morning. We bless you for the opportunity, God, to gather as a community, to take deep breaths, to speak and say and announce and proclaim and remember all of the ways in which you meet us right where we are, but never leave us there. God, you're guiding us, taking us somewhere, pouring into us. You are faithful, God, and we bless you for that. We are grateful, and in this time, God, may the posture and meditation of my heart and the words of my mouth bring honor and glory to you and you alone, my Lord, my rock, and my Savior. And may we, God, have ears to hear and hearts to understand what you have for us this morning. In the name of the resurrected Christ, the church said, amen. Amen. And so Lent begins. Lent begins. One scholar notes that every light casts a shadow. So for every light, there, of course, is a shadow. And the bigger the light, the bigger the shadow that it casts. And I used, for me, that image was really powerful as I kind of meditated my kind of prayer time into the Lent season. I used that as, for me, to kind of set my heart as we walked into this Lent season earlier this week. Because the reality is we love Easter. At least I love Easter. Resurrection Sunday. It's really big. And in fact, that light, well, that's probably like the biggest light there is, which means, of course, an awfully big shadow. But I would say that shadow, this idea of Lent leading into it, to experience new life, we have to name the death. If we're going to step into new life, if we're going to celebrate resurrection, we have to acknowledge that there is a death to lead to resurrection, because only dead things can be resurrected. Are you with me? So that's an important thing. So what you have then is you have shadow. You have the shadow side, or ash is where we get this Ash Wednesday thing. And did you know that ash actually makes soil, fresh ash makes soil at least 10 times more fertile? Ash, especially volcanic ash, makes soil 10 times more fertile. So to experience new life, the resurrected life, it's crucial we name that which is dying or dead, because it actually does something. We find grace in ashes and experience new life bursting out from here. So again, welcome to Lent and where we have been heading with this series. And so each week we've kind of unpacked a certain element, and I'll just sum it up in a sentence form, hopefully, or we'll try anyways. Just kind of a bullet point for each of these weeks. And so for this first week of the series, we were naming sin. We have to name that which is off course. So we're naming sin, and if you look at that, it's kind of this idea of slavery. And then the second week is, if there's sin, well, what is the answer, if you will? Well, there's awakening to the Christ, which is rescue from that which enslaves. And then last week we talked about what it is to be repositioned or positioned in Christ, which is the Apostle Paul, early Christian who wrote the majority of the New Testament, a lot of it. That's his favorite phrase. He uses over 100 times in his writings, in Christ. And so what's it mean to be positioned or repositioned in Christ, which would be freedom? And this morning I want to talk about what it means to practice Christ. That would be one word, one way of saying it, or I would say is, how do we make fruit fly? And what I would say, though, is if theologically the understanding of practice Christ is the incarnate Christ. What is the word to flesh movement of Scripture? There is the word spoken to the flesh lived out. That's what we're going to talk about. How do we move from just knowing to living? How do we take this in a Monday through Saturday thing and not just become Sunday Christians? Like, where would we even get that kind of language? Unless, of course, people stopped, say, at like 1 p.m. and just left it upstairs with somebody saying something in a song we sang, and then we move on. And we're not going to do that, because that's not who we are as a church. So we're going to unpack practicing Christ and making fruit fly this morning. Sounds like a good time, doesn't it? I mean, it's a party. And I'm telling you what. So here we go. We're going to jump into Paul speaking some things, talking about some stuff. So we'll begin in Romans chapter 7, verses 15 to 16. Paul writing to a Gentile church in Rome, and Paul says this: I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. Hey, thanks, Paul. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. Fascinating. When I actually behave the way I don't want to behave, I acknowledge the law, rules, is good. Now, this is helpful because this is where it at least helps us understand what's the point of the law. What's the point of rules, even if you will? Well, it's to offer boundaries, guardrails, so that we are fully aware of when we've gone off course. Do you want to know, did I mess up? Did I monkey this whole thing up? Did I wander into the deep weeds? Well, when you have the law that says, yeah, here's what we can't do, or here's the law, you know very quickly when you read that, oh, yeah, boy, I shattered that thing. I busted that. Oh, no, I really messed that up. How? Because we have it stated. Great. So Paul's like, yeah, so when I behave in ways that I don't want to behave, I see in the law that it tells me, yeah, you've gone off course. It reveals that. But so we know this is an important thing. I would say it this way: rules make a great servant, but a terrible master. Really important that rules make a great servant. They're supposed to serve us, to help us. But when we make that master, that gets us in all kinds of problems. And Paul spends a lot of his writings in the New Testament talking about that. Hey, I'm not saying we're getting rid of the law. It's helpful as a servant, but it actually makes a poor master, which some of us get squirmy because we like that. No, rules. Please, no, they're in charge. No, they're not. They're serving us. But if they're master, then what happens is we can become very legalistic and make rules the master, and then we get in all kinds of trouble. Paul keeps going in Romans 8, 1 and 2 then. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are what? In Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law, another law, of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. Oh, now we have another law, but this is the law of Spirit. And it functions, and this is what's helpful and really helpful for me, it functions far more as a guide and less a general. A guide, less a general. And here's where this really struck me even recently. So when this group of us that went to Puerto Rico, one, I got to bring my oldest son, Sawyer. He's 11 years old. And so he went on this trip with me. And so we're in Puerto Rico, and I'm a dad. And I'm his dad there, and I'm his dad here. But what struck me, I literally came back, and the first day I was back, I was sitting, and my wife saw the look on my face, which she has a name for it, but we won't share. And so she's like, "Ah, you're in that thought." And she's like, "Where are you at right now? What are you thinking?" And I said, "You know, I'm trying to put language to my experience with Sawyer here and there." And you know what? It dawned on me, the language that I had is, here often I act as a general to my son. Do this, don't do this, you know, real clear, bop, bop, bop. There, when we were in Puerto Rico, I actually wasn't in charge. We had guides, hosts, they're taking us, and they have plans for us while we're there. And so we'd get up, and they're like, here's what we're going to do today. And I actually functioned, I think, in Puerto Rico as a guide to my son. And it's not that I'm one or the other and one is bad. It's not that. But as a guide, there was something about it that we had beautiful conversations. I was just at this calm place, and he and I had these great talks, and I got to listen, and I just kept it, but I got to go like this. Come on. Come on. He's like, well, what are we doing? Whatever they say. Come on, I'll go with you. But it was this feeling of, I'll go with you, just follow Dad, and we're going to do this together, which is going to be jumping off rocks into the water, apparently, right now. And then it's going to, oh, so I guess we're going to a rainforest today, so Josh says. And so, like, we were doing this thing, and it was beautiful, but I got to function as a guide, and there was something to that that was like, oh, this is precious, and I love this. And sometimes it's knowing how to navigate that. But the Christian faith, is about relationship with the divine rather than rules following a religion. But we're about a relationship with the divine, not rules following a religion. And this helps us see our relationship with God, but also it helps us see the library of wisdom known as the Bible as well. Because the Bible isn't a rule book, but it's wisdom library guiding us, teaching us, growing us up. There's something deeper and more happening underneath that. But if we just make it a rule book, it actually gets us in a lot of trouble. But when it is more, and this is the way I'd say, an aroma that we pick up, both spirit and the Bible, like this library, it's an aroma. And this is how, when I was thinking about an aroma that draws you, like, that smells good. I got to follow where that is coming from. Anybody remember the cartoon where, like, there's like a pie in the windowsill, and then the smell is going along, and then it captures Mickey, and it grabs a hold, like it smells, and then like picks him up and starts carrying him, and he's like, you know what I'm saying? And I remember, and so when I was thinking about this, and I'm like, yeah, this is the guide. It's drawing me. It's pulling me. It's pulling that which is deepest within. Says I have to find where that is coming from. And I'm like, that's the image. That's the picture. And I found it. And it's that kind of idea. God is a general or a helicopter parent, as one scholar actually says it. Well, that's stress and anxiety inducing. The Bible as an instruction manual runs into huge problems. But a guide for life by means of wisdom is far more helpful. Paul writes to the church in Galatia and puts it this way. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17, Paul, writing to the church, says, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other." This is, to me, where the scriptures are beautiful and helpful, yet I understand can be maddening for those of us who like, just tell me exactly what to do. Details, to the point. But where scripture's like, oh, well, they're kind of infighting and we're going to guide you along, and I find it beautiful, but maybe you're like, no, because I just need to just tell me what to do. Exactly. But then we get this, I love it, walk by the Spirit, where I'm like, oh, what a beautiful metaphor, what a great image, walk by the Spirit. Somebody else is like, no, tell me what step, and is it the left foot and the right foot, and then where's the next one? See, and that's why I'm maddening. If you think it's a rule book, good luck. But the Spirit isn't bullet points. It's like the wind, Jesus says in the Gospel of John. It blows wherever it likes. And I'm like, oh, that's beautiful. And some of you right now are going, no, it's not. No. Right? We catch the aroma. We listen. We discern. We walk. And I would say for all of these images, we practice. That's why I want to say practice. We practice this because we have to practice listening. We have to practice walking this out. We have to practice at being good at picking up, well, what's that scent? Is it the Christ? So good news for everyone, though, who wants a bit more clarity. Paul offers a really strong differentiation of fruit produced from the sinful nature, as he calls it, and the Christ path. So he gives us in verse 19 and 20 through 21, he's going to tell us, now, the acts of the sinful nature, okay, if you walk that path, are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. Mom and Dad, you got quite a ride home today, don't you, of some explanations. So he says this. So Paul is saying the results of walking the sinful nature, the sinful path, are obvious, which I find is funny because he says are obvious. And then with all of those, guess what we have to do? Figure out what's under the, pretty broad. It's just obvious, sexual morality, which is what? Right? So there's discernment, idolatry, in which we have to unpack these. We have to know them. But at the same time, he's at least saying there's some stuff here that we need to know. And this is where community is such an important piece, that we learn, and in community, we guide one another to and on the path of Christ. We have to do that. This is not done through guilt and shame, because that's easy. Just to tell people how bad, dumb, off, broken they are. But instead, it's highlighting, and I would say the fruit of each path. Sometimes you just got to highlight and say the simple question, how is that working for you? Oh, you've been on this path. Interesting. Let's look at the fruit that it's produced. How is that working for you? And even if how is that working for others? Are they thrilled with what you, the fruit you're hanging on to right now, that it's producing, that this path is bringing up? Which takes us back to Jesus' metaphor in chapter 15 of John that we unpacked a bit last week. I am the true vine, Jesus says, and my Father is the gardener. He lifts up and what? Remember, we had to unpack this a bit because you might read your translation or your Bible and it'll say, he cuts off, which that word means to lift up and reposition, every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will even be even more fruitful. Where good fruit is not being produced, we reposition, get repositioned. Where there is fruit, prune it so the tree can become an orchard. Okay? So obvious, and I love this. I was talking with a friend, and he was, you know, he's like raised some things, some obvious question, but really helpful. Does a tree produce fruit right when you put the seed in the ground? Right? Is it later? Oh, interesting. What comes first? Cultivating the soil, making sure that it's all set, burying it in the ground, the seed, watering it, making sure it, where is the sunlight, it's getting everything. All of this takes place, guiding it along, and then fruit. I bought my wife 4.5 years ago an apple tree. It was either Mother's Day or her birthday or something. I got her an apple tree, and my wife, she's like plant lady. She loves plants and all of that, and gardening and all that. So I got this fruit tree, but here's the thing. I got this apple tree, but I talked to this guy in the nursery, and he was telling me about it, and I just, I think at some point I got to get my wife that because that sounds fascinating. What they've been working on, these scientists or whatever, and what they did is they grafted 5 branches onto this apple tree, these little trees, so that this apple tree can grow 5 different kinds of apples. Isn't that something? And so I'm like, no, you got to be, and he's like, oh, no, we got it. And he's like, what do you, and I'm like, oh, man. I'm like, but I'm thinking, and you sell those? He's like, yeah, we're going to start selling those trees. And I'm like, I'd like one. But there's, in my mind, immediately, if you do this, well, that thing's probably like 1.2 million. Or more. And I'm like, no way. And I'm like, oh, I'd love to get that for my wife. It'd be great for this thing. And we just moved into our and I'm like, oh, we'll get this in the backyard. And so I asked, and it was something, and I'm like, so what's that thing around? And he's like, ah, $20. I'm like, what in the hot hay? I'm like, that's fantastic. Okay, I'll take one of those. But here's the thing. 4.5 years ago, I bought my wife that. I think this summer we're going to get apples that we can eat. I think. It looks to be the year. It looks to be the year. Because the reality, it was, we actually put it in the ground since then, about a year later, or maybe my wife's like, no, we need to move it. She moved it, kind of redid this thing, and now we got to make sure that we do this, and she's like, and she's been playing with it, and then last year we got some, but they were little, not quite, and it's like, I think next year, and you're like, oh. I mean, I thought we were just going to be having a party right from like the get-go here. Like, this thing is like, but then I'm like, no, yes, honey. See, I gave the gift that just, it'll give longer and it's just coming. See how I, not planned out. But here's the thing, cultivate, plant, water, prune, walk, journey. Are you with me? So then Paul is going to contrast. So you have the chaos of the sin path. Then in verses 22 to 23, but the fruit of the Spirit way is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there's what? Oh, fascinating. If you live this way, if you walk on this path, well, we actually don't need a law. Because what doesn't need to be pointed out to you is all the ways in which you've gone off course. And instead, no, you don't need that because what you're producing, what is being produced in your life, well, we don't need a law for that. We actually just need to chuck that everywhere because we need that to go. We don't want to bound that thing in. We need to unleash that because that's beautiful. Who doesn't need that? So instead, we don't need a law. We need to let that go. There is no law. Fascinating. I don't want laws. Great. Then so live so as to make the law irrelevant. If you're someone like, I don't like it. Great. Live in such a way then that we don't have to put a bunch of guardrails around you. A life lived on the Christ path leads to cultivating and curating beautiful fruit. The sin path is chaos, destruction, or rotten fruit. And what happens when the fruit starts going rotten? What goes around it? Fruit flies. But when you have beautiful fruit, well, I want to make that fly. Those are different things. Do I want these fruit flies around me, or do I want this fruit to go everywhere and fly? Because it's beautiful and stunning. Do you see how my mind is such a treat? So, all right. Sweet heavens. With that, we're going to pull out our whiteboard. So this actually is a whiteboard Sunday. And so somebody want to write? Because if I write, you're all going to go, he needs to go back to second grade. So we'll have somebody else write. Because here's what we're going to do. I can sit here and I could tell you forever, believe it or not, I could talk for a really long time about what fruit looks like in our lives. As in, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, like, and I could say that, and I could sit there and go, it looks like, it looks like, it looks like, but here's what would be really helpful for us as a community, is Monday through Saturday, if we need to know what this looks like, I would be far more curious to know, what does love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control, what do these things look like for a mechanic who's going to go do that work tomorrow, or an accountant, or a nurse, or a teacher, or a gas station attendant. Like, what would be more helpful is if maybe you go, I'll tell you what, at least what I'm trying to work, what I think would be really good, or what joy might look like for me when I go ahead and sit people down in the dentist chair, and I'm going to go and say, I'm going to drill your face. And so how am I going to practice joy? You know, what does that look like in the midst of your lives? So instead of me blathering on, I'm going to invite you. You tell us or invite us what that looks like. And you can pick any one of them. Love, joy, peace, patience. I don't know. Maybe that's God's up to you. And you go, what could we plant Monday through Saturday? And how might that look like? What might that look like? So you can just go ahead, and we're going to open it up for you to holler out some things that we're going to plant in the ground. Sound good? So this is going to be open for us to whiteboard at fruit. Yeah, and we can list, and we'll just kind of list out, and hopefully maybe somebody says something like, oh, that would be, I'll do that. And so we'll open it up. Fruit, Monday through Saturday, go.
Empathy.
Yeah? Write it down. Listening. Hold on. Who said listening? Listening feels like a lime. Hey, so what we need, though, is we need that lime to become an orchard. So could you plant that? Could you plant listening? Are you with me? Let's plant that and grow that then. Okay, you said empathy. That's a mango. So we need to plant that because we need more mangoes. Are you with me? Loving on those who are in need. Feels like a banana. Glenn said understanding. Mini bananas. They're extra sweet. These are dessert in Uganda. Isn't that nice? Plant those because we need an orchard of mini bananas. Oh, by the way, all of this is organic. I try very hard. Patience. What does patience look like, Jess? Oh, see? When people around you are trying to disturb you, you smile. That's a pair. Because their attitudes are misshapen and, I don't know, that's beautiful. Plant that, please. Ah, good. Love it. Helping. Yeah, that's an orange. Something sweet that the aftermath of peeling it. Come on, Doug. Come on. Are you with me? Hey, and you know what was great? So I'm fruit shopping. And when I got to the limes, with that though, with the something, and I love it. There's a lady standing next to me, and I come up and I'm looking at the limes, and she's rolling it down the aisle. She's doing all this stuff with it. And I'm like, ooh. So, and then she looks at me because I'm like, I have the biggest tell that my face must have said, hello, what are you doing? I'm like, hello. And she looks at me and she's like, oh, do you know? She said, when you get a lime, she said, if you pick it up and squeeze it, and then you should be able to smell it when you squeeze it. She said it almost as if it like squirts, but it doesn't. Don't squeeze that hard, she said. But she said you can squeeze it, and when there is an aroma, she said if there's not, it's not ready. If you squeeze it, there are a little bit of an aroma. You should smell it. Now you know it's ready. I said, do you want to come to church with me on Sunday? Huh? That's good. But there's that. Beautiful. Okay. Oh, that's good. Aroma. That was good, Doug. You leave your actions, your words, leave an aroma.
I'm going to say, practicing deep breaths, for patience, before talking to my children, in the self-control.
Throughout the day. So self-control, which that's a good one that we be easy one to a deep breath, count to 10, count to 5. Somehow so you're not reactionary. You're not just, it's good. That's a lemon. And not a lemon, it's good lemon. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. So how I heard that, listening is what she said, and sincerity in listening. So when you say, so how are you today? You're not saying how are you today as a greeting so much as a, like, I mean it. How are you doing today? Anybody ever said that? Hey, how are you doing today? And someone's like, not very good. And you're like, oh man, I didn't mean that. Right? But that is the thing. Like, no, I do mean that. I do mean that. I'm going to allow your discomfort, your place, wherever you're at, to disrupt me right now. Right? Oh, Jess, come on. That is, you tell me. Oh, peach, Dave. That's a peach. That's peach. That's got some fuzz on it. Love it. Whew. Yeah. Respect. Anybody need that? Brian, what do you want? You want the what? Just bring it right there. Then I'm going to do a line. Man, oh man, oh man, that is fantastic. That is good. Respect, sure. Mm. Wow. Assuming positive intent, Caitlin says. Assuming positive, that feels like it would shift a room. That's an apple and a mini banana. They're all good. That banana didn't. Well done. Oh, assuming positive intent. That is good. Encouragement. Encouragement. That's sweet. Thanks, Glenn. Yeah. Oh, did I give you a mini banana the first time? Oh, man, that's, then here's a pear. We got some good fruit here. Sure. Thank you. Saying thank you. Saying thank you. There's a sense of presence, of gratitude. That's great. Peach? Peach? Ooh, good job, Luann. Oh, just about knocked her over. Thank you. Saying thank you. Being kind. Ever done the littlest thing and someone, it strikes them, it stops them, jars them. Going 100 miles per hour in our go, 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 go world, and the littlest, smallest act of kindness. Get someone to pause.
Complimenting.
Well, well done, Mom. Well done, Dad. Hey, just pointing to the kid. Well done, Mom. Well done, Dad. That's great. Mango? Mango's good. That thing is really good. I got a bunch of apples. Is anybody going to say something about... All right. Well, yeah, recognizing the good in people. Let Pastor Wally go ahead and say, seeing everyone created in the image of God. Let's be, you know, like that's how, you know, because that's the depth of that. That you go, we're going to begin with the beginning. You first and foremost are created in the image of God. Recognizing the good in people. Yeah, because that's a path. The Spirit. Christ path. We can do that. Yeah, beautiful. A couple more. We're good. A couple more, and then we'll...
Taking time out of your day for someone else.
Taking time out of your day for someone else. Yes. Sometimes you know when not to throw. So that's good. Allowing, but it is that idea of allowing someone else to just kind of disrupt you, I put a quote, a book I read, Get Off Your Donkey, great book, that's what it's called, but it said, sometimes the quickest way to self-improvement is to serve someone else. And one of the things I was reflecting on, the difference between, I've heard people before, like, I'm really tired, I'm worn out, so I just need to receive. And they're like, I understand that. But you go, I can't do it right now. You mean you can't lead? I understand leading. Maybe you're not in a place where you can't lead right now, but we can always serve. No matter how broken you are, you can serve. Maybe you're not leading, but you can serve. And that can be a big part of healing. Way to go, Mom. Look at you just with the depth. Yeah, that's great. Love it.
What about following through on commitments or working hard to finish things?
Follow through on commitments, finishing things, fidelity, faithfulness. Faithfulness, finishing. Faithfulness, finishing, yep. Let your yes be yes.
Explaining complex things with patience.
Man, that sounds like a parent. Or a grandparent. Or an accountant. Which is fantastic because that is something. You sit down and like,
what's a debit again?
What? Yes. Anybody when it comes to like, time to do taxes and your head falls off. Danny and Chad will put it back on for you. That's what they're doing. I love it. That is so fantastic. Slowing down to create space for opportunity to see things. That's so loaded. Patience, goodness is in there, gentleness, I would think. It's fruit. And you notice that, and I remember I did a big old teaching one time, it was maybe weeks long, of the fruit of the Spirit. It's not fruits. Because I've heard people say, well, I don't have that fruit. No, fruit. And it all encompassing. We all get to grow in this way. This is a big, stunning orchard we have with all sorts of diversity, and we're all invited to that. Maybe you're really good at the lemon tree, but come on. We all need an apple, too. Yeah, beautiful. Good, Chad. What was good there? An apple? What else do you got there? Okay. Apple eater. How about one more?
I think we need to live honest lives with integrity that our fellow family members or people that we work with can know that they can come to us. We'll keep our mouth shut if we need to, but we'll also listen.
Yeah. So honest lives with integrity so that those around us feel safe. Oh, that's good. Yeah. It's great. We have a lot of bananas. So I said one more, right? How about a watermelon? That's what we'll do. That was a watermelon. That's how we'll end. Ha, almost forgot about it. All right. Thank you. Yeah. just to love from here. Yeah. That's it. You get to have the rest of the bowl. Because if we wrap everything, if we wrap this whiteboard in love, because if not, well, I believe someplace, Paul said, if we do things without wrapped in love, great way to end it, then it's just a clanging cymbal. But when we wrap it all of that in love, well, that's a gift. See? This is it. Come on. I would love to just say a brief prayer and then for us to stand and sing together to take all of this, and if you take fruit and you blend it together, well, then we get something. And maybe what we ought to sing then, we should sing a song about new wine, fresh, squeezing of life. Gracious God, you are good. And you are teaching us and guiding us and knitting us together as a community, as a big, massive fruit farm. And so, God, what you are pouring into us, may we take and go plant that everywhere. May Walker and beyond be filled with apple trees and lemon trees and orange groves and bunches of bananas. God, may people experience your fruit through your church here as we go and plant. You are good, God. We bless you for this morning. I bless you for these hearts and these lives. May we learn to love and live well as you mold us and make us and tend to our soil. We bless you, God, for here and now. Receive our worship. May it make your heart bloom. We pray this in the name of Christ Jesus. Amen.
And would you stand?